Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Becky Lynch is a heel. I'm Ollie Davis. This is not Luke Owen. Not doing that storyline again.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Becky Lynch is a heel. I'm Ollie Davis. This is El Fakeador Laurie Blake. Welcome to the Wrestle Ramble SmackDown Review Edition, where last night, after SummerSlam, after Becky Lynch attacked Charlotte after their three-way WWE SmackDown Championship match, where everyone thought, hey, that might not have been a full heel turn for Becky. It kind of looked like a badass thing. Yeah. Like she's finally had enough of Charlotte's entitled nonsense. And Charlotte's the villain here.
It was a fairly it felt like a fairly justified beatdown.
Yeah.
But, oh no! That is not what we were doing, apparently.
Well, I was still holding out hope. Yeah. So they're building this, you know, Becky's going to explain her actions, which is one of the more overdone stay tuned for later things in WWE. And Becky comes out to do her promo, and she starts off good.
Yeah, it was like the initial stuff of saying, like, I was prepared for this, I thought I was going to be the champion, I fought really hard just to get this one-on-one match with Carmella, who I feel like it would be very easy to get a one-on-one. Realistically, yeah. It should be very easy to get a one-on-one match.
You've just got to beat Carmella.
You've just got to, yeah.
Which is very easy.
If you can beat Carmella, then you get a title shot. Easy peasy. And then Charlotte turns up and she inserts herself into it. And I was annoyed, but I was ready to beat Charlotte and prove to everyone that I am a deserving SmackDown champion and I am not just Charlotte's mate. And then is when it turns and she suddenly starts going, however, you're all shouting along with me now, but there weren't any boycotts on the night. There weren't any hashtags. There weren't any this, that. The classic heel annoy the WWE universe move that WWE like to do that doesn't necessarily work because everyone's sort of just going, yeah, but we wanted to see the match anyway. Like,
yeah, we did still want to see it. it's lazy, in my opinion. Yeah. They do this all the time. Randy Orton decided to turn on the fans in his promo when he explained his heel attack on Jeff Hardy when he returned about a month ago now. And at the time, me and Luke were both like, well, you know, you could just say that I'm turning into the young guy killer rather than the legend killer of old. I'm going to take out all these people who are trying to take my spot. You don't need to do this lame, cheap heat by going, it was the fans who turned their back on me. Because it's demonstrably false. Everyone was really behind Becky Lynch.
Everyone went nuts when she beat up Charlotte as well. Yeah. Like, everyone was like, there were yes chants across the board. People were like going crazy for it. It's like, if you did that and then you heard that, you were there, Becky. You heard what happened. You can't then turn around and go like, no one had my back. No one cared. It's like, everyone was like, yeah, yeah. And everyone booed Charlotte when she picked up the belt. Like, you were so over.
It was one of the loudest pops of the night in a babyface good way. Not a we just wanted to see
it's
a heel
revision.
Turn
it's
way.
Revisionist history, yeah. Becky.
It's North Korea right now. It's not even the story you're telling. So I guess you can get away with that argument if you're a delusional heel and you're like, well, and the fans were on the side. Well, you were never on my side. No one's on my side. That's my character. But that's not Becky's character.
No.
Becky's character is, I'm this plucky underdog and I keep on scrapping away and, you know, Charlotte's taken it one step too far. I had the match won. Granted, she didn't actually cheat. That's the confines of a three-way match. But, you know, you can be justifiably upset because the argument is Charlotte shouldn't have been in that match in the first place.
She was robbed is what she... Yeah. Like, but justifiably so. She felt like she had fought really hard for this. Like, her actual heel reason for being a heel. It's just that I was dicked on because of reasons. You know, what? Like, it's not like there's... nothing has happened that she hasn't cheated. She hasn't done anything to become a heel. She's just had a very frustrating circumstance happen to her, and now she's cross.
And, most importantly, the fans didn't tweet enough.
Yeah, that was it.
There was a bit where she said, you know, there was no give Becky a chance hashtag trending on Twitter.
You've got to start a hashtag, yeah. Becky. You start it beforehand.
Which it now has, apparently. Yeah. It has trended after the fact. But Becky said that, but she had to qualify herself after that. Again, I mean, there were tweets, actually, though. Like, there were actually tweets. Thank you very much for that. But you didn't believe in me enough. Yeah. It was so hokey and forced. Her performance, great. Lynch is a very good promo. And the rest of this segment was actually very well played out. But it's just, it's the wrong decision. So we're in a position right now where Becky Lynch, one of the more over performers on SmackDown, is a heel, and Roman Reigns, one of the like the most over heels, is a face on Raw. It's WWE. They say that they listen to their fans. Triple H even said it before NXT TakeOver last Saturday in this conference call interview he did, that WWE do listen to their fans. Duly noted. It might take us a while, but eventually we do change. But no, they don't, because this isn't just the fans getting behind Becky. The WWE have booked a storyline where Lynch has been robbed and...
then made her the heel, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, where's...
She could still... I mean, she could literally be the same character without saying, you all left me behind, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she should just go, I'm not even in this for the title anymore. I am just going to destroy Charlotte. It doesn't even matter anymore, the title. Like, I'm past that point now. Like, I've given up trying to get a chance in this company because you're just going to give it to Charlotte Flair because of her heritage. So now I'm just going to destroy Charlotte Flair. Great heel move. Doesn't require doing something that feels out of character. Just says, I'm just going to prove myself now by beating Charlotte. Doesn't matter if it's for the title or whatever. Like,
I would have
on.
Much preferred that.
Yeah.
But I would say that wouldn't come across as a heel thing. But if
well,
she
I
did
know,
that,
it wouldn't, but it would
come
see
as a badass babyface kind of thing. But I'm not against that. Like, you could have a badass babyface in Becky Lynch and a sort of badass heel or babyface as well in Charlotte.
Yeah, it doesn't,
that's
yeah.
an interesting story to tell.
It doesn't always have to be a babyface and a heel.
No,
I guess this is the thing WWE continually forget. Is like it doesn't have to be such a black and white, like one person has to be completely Machiavellian while the other person is just like, I'm just here for my family or whatever it is. You know, it just, yeah, it can just be two people, like, you know, it kind of felt like that's what they tried to do with the Asuka thing, and then that obviously went places.
Yeah, it seemed that the line against the fans was just WWE's way to say, oh, by the way, we definitely see her as this. She's definitely a heel character to us, no matter what you chant. Like, that's what that line is. And that's another thing WWE always say, the Road Dogs and the Triple H's and the Stephanies. This isn't a world of bad guys and good guys anymore. This is all shades of grey. Well, then why are you pushing Becky Lynch as against the fans then? It's baloney. It's just total baloney. Total baloney.
The strongest word you could come up with. Baloney.
Pardon my French.
Absolute ham sandwiches.
Baloney.
And because then now I just feel like the resolution to this entire thing is going to be that Charlotte wins again. You know, I just don't think they're going to. I think this all becomes part of the building Charlotte's star again in time.
Yeah.
In time for another WrestleMania match, maybe a champion v champion kind of deal with Ronda Rousey somewhere down the line. Who knows? But I now do. It's just everyone gets sucked up into the vortex of pushing one or two people, and this I think potentially Becky could be the victim of that here. On the show, though, they then, so Charlotte does come out after Becky cuts her promo and says, oh, the fans, and Charlotte comes out, takes off the belt, gloats with it for a bit, which I thought was a bit heely.
She was like, oh, this? I thought she looked cool.
It looked cool, but I thought it was a bit,
I think that was a badass baby face.
And then
thing.
She chucks it down, takes her jacket off, runs in the ring, and it's a pull-apart brawl.
On the largest heels. So she kind of like, yeah, she hopped, she bounced from side to side on those massive shoes that she always wears, because she's not tall enough already.
No, she's not.
It's that already, Stephanie McMahon mentality.
Already the tallest woman alive.
Yeah, and she gets in there. They have a brawl. Every time Becky's on top, laying in the punches, the crowd are cheering. Every time Charlotte gets on top, Boo! So this is a smarter audience, as they say in the biz, because it is New York. It is the travelling crowd for the big SummerSlam show. So, but I don't think this is going to go away. I think this is going to be a positive fan reaction for Becky everywhere they go for the next couple of months.
She was. It felt like her moment going into SummerSlam, and yeah, it just feels a bit hokey to have it robbed.
Yeah,
and then to turn around and be like, oh no, she's a heel now because
fans. Ooh, you turned your back on me.
There was no hashtags.
It's your fault.
I've got 130 characters or whatever it is
for 280. Is it now? I think
280.
They definitely doubled it. Jokers. Well, they definitely added more characters.
I don't know. I'm new to Twitter.
So, yeah, Paige then comes out and is like, go and break them up. And a few referees, but mainly the women's division run down and they
pull them
apart.
There's more of them on SmackDown from the looks of it. Yeah, seems like it.
One of whom being Asuka.
Yeah.
Seeing Asuka in this relegated role.
Yeah.
Not even getting an Iconics or Absolution match on this show.
No. I feel like Asuka, Asuka could have just solved it on her own, really. I feel like she'd have just gone... Off you go, Asuka. Asuka resolves the brawl on her own.
She's the enforcer.
Yeah.
And no Bellas. No Bella twins.
Not here.
Appeared for this one.
Not on this bit, no.
No, but they will happen.
Say their name and they will appear.
But before we get into the full SmackDown review, hey, Fagador, do you want to hold my bell?
Sure.
Cheers, man. Shake
it's
my hand.
It's a very shiny bell that you've got here.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It's very rusty.
Big red shiny bell.
Yeah. So this is to thank all the people who've pledged to WrestleTalk's Patreon this month. Luke usually does this bit. $25 a month or more Patreons get inducted into the WrestleTalk Hall of Fame for this month and... You get a bell.
You get a ring. You get a clang on Ollie's bell.
It's a Hall of Fame ring on my bell. So thank you, the $100 man, CD Holver.
Thank you, Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
Because it's like Adam and the Ants, isn't it?
Adam, I'll do it again with a pause.
Yeah, do you want to?
Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
I hope he knows who they are. They might just be a British, if he's American and they're a British act. So we came up with a few of these. Luke usually comes up with the names. See if you can spot the better ones. Arnie K, the K stands for the coolest dude ever.
Asuka's future husband and EFO one-man wrecking crew, Skin Trade.
So that was the guy who requested that name.
It's actually EOF, one-man wrecking crew.
I don't think Luke
can't even read.
Come up with that. Big Ben Spires.
The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter. Great first name.
Britain's Next Top Model, Phil Stopford.
Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams.
That was one of ours. We came up with that. Brian Huntley Hurst Helmsley. That was another one.
Yes. The Big Red Machine, Kane Grant. Another one.
We googled your name how to say it, because it's not spelt like Kane. But that's what all the pronunciation videos came back as. Charlotte the Cox Block. That was yours.
Boom.
Boom. So Charlotte Cox. We made it a funny.
Thank you to Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
I want to be like you, Chris Louis.
Let's have a drink, Christopher Travis Merriman.
Killer Chris Phillips.
Christopher the Rock Johnson. You clanged over me saying that. We'll do it again. You get a second clang. I'll put my hand in the way. Christopher... The Rock Johnson. This has gone really well.
Courtney Villainous Havoc Summers.
The Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
He's also got several names. He's also Real Dan's Dan.
Which is a Real Dan's Dan.
Yeah, a Real Dan's Dan. Randy Danny Richardson.
David Hendrix's God McKenzie.
Apparently that's a reference to something. I don't... Yeah.
To what?
Luke came up with that one. Digante Dead the Pool Warrior.
Dive Dylan Kishita.
So that's actually dot 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 dive.
Dot 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 dive.
Dylan Kishita.
You should just write dot dot dot.
They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
And you sold out, Jay Sellers.
So if you want to get a shout out, go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, where, excitingly, we're not that far off from our next goal. 750 Patreons will make NXT reviews happen on this channel. It'll be Laurie and Luke every week doing NXT.
In a Rumble format.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That will be
so
fun.
So we are 30 Patreons away from that from happening. So, yeah, what are you waiting for, as Michael Cole always says about the WWE Network?
Better than watching Raw and quicker NXT reviews.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The full episode of SmackDown opened with Miz and Maryse walking out, very morose, looking like they had, you know, sort of a redness around
Maryse
the eyes.
Maryse was his other wife.
Yeah, and French-Canadians, strange names. And they come down, and Miz, I didn't realise this until you pointed it out before we came in here, Miz cuts this promo announcing his retirement, and you said... These are verbatim the exact words that Daniel Bryan.
So he's quoting. So he comes out and he says something happened, and it's with a heavy heart and great sadness, or words to that effect. And these are the words that Daniel Bryan used from all. And you've seen it all in the promos to build up to SummerSlam. Like, he's quoting Daniel Bryan. The crowd are super into the idea of Miz retiring, and I don't think they're necessarily. On like getting that it's the Bryan reference,
picking up on the subtleties.
Yeah. And then then he goes and says, "I'm retiring from ever facing Daniel Bryan again because I beat him at SummerSlam."
It was a great.
It was
swerve.
Really good, and it was really well. It was well acted for you know. It was a good callback. It was well acted. I really enjoyed all of this bit.
Yeah, Miz and Bryan. I feel like they're leading the charge on this feud, or maybe they've got a Ryan Ward or a really good producer. For their storyline, because it's the attention to detail is really, really smart. Unfortunately, it's sometimes overshadowed by "I'm going to chuck a baby at you."
Well, yeah, it seems like every time they start off all of these promos and all of these things happen, and it's brilliant and it's really well done, and there's all these callbacks and all of this interweaving thread of plot, and then they get to the end and they just go,
"Yeah, yeah."
every single time they and here again. It is fumbled mahoosively.
Yeah, so Miz does that, and then Bryan comes out and...
Just keeps shouting, "Coward."
Yeah, Miz is also building up how he's got the hardest punch in WWE, which is really funny, because of course it was the brass knucks he won by, not through any physical fist strength.
King Canucks.
And Bryan cuts a pretty good line. He comes out, you know, he says, "Coward," like you recalled, and then he says, "You're nothing but a wannabe Hollywood star cosplaying as a wrestler." And Maryse is like, "Well, you should change your name to Daniel Bella." As soon as she said that, I was like, "She's goddamn here, isn't she?"
Because if you say their name, they appear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially at the moment. Yeah. You cannot move Bella twins on WWE TV. So that happens. And then I had this sort of flashback before it happened, like a spidey sense that something terrible was going to happen.
Pre-mode.
And then it hit.
Pre-mode.
Do you think... I've always thought this, but I haven't actually been running this channel since Brie Bella's been properly active.
Mm.
Like, so I never got to do this, but it sounds like she's in slow motion. She wrestles like she's in slow motion. She kind of speaks like she's in, like, on 0.8 speed. And that intro to her music is just like, don't get excited. That's all it says to me. Like, you think of, like, the first hit of a wrestler's entrance music, the glass shattering for Stone Cold.
Yeah,
if you smell, that's something that's meant to make you excited. Burn it down.
Yeah.
But not...
The record scratch for Dolph. No.
Yeah, maybe not that one. So, yeah, that's... yeah, it's in
So that's happening. I thought initially as well when they came out and they said... Daniel Bryan said he'd spoken to Paige. So Brie comes out and runs down and goes for Maryse. Miz gets in the way. So she hits him anyway. And then they sort of chase them out of the ring. And then Daniel Bryan gets on the mic and says he's spoken to Paige. And what's going to happen is that at Hell in a Cell, there's going to be a match between Daniel Bryan and The Miz.
Good.
But it's not just us two. Okay, who else? What other wrestlers going to be in there? It's... Brie Bella and Maryse.
Mm.
I initially thought that it would be a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, what, to keep the wives away?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I just would have enjoyed that.
Is that the reason Hell in a Cell is happening? Just to keep the Bellas away from ringside?
Yeah, that's it. So they can't get in on whatever Ronda Rousey's doing.
Yeah. So this is happening. The second encounter of Miz and Bryan is going to be a mixed-gender tag match with their respective wives, which is, you know, it's like, you look at long-term storytelling, maybe there's an argument to this where you can extend the singles feud by having stipulations like this in between to kind of keep the plate spinning. But for me, if you're going to do that, it's got to be interesting and exciting and something I want to see, and I have no interest. I have negative interest in seeing Maryse or Brie Bella wrestle again. I don't care how much Brie Bella's improved.
I'm just saying, I made a video how WWE will screw up the feud between Daniel Bryan and The Miz, and it was all, admittedly, very stupid ideas. One of them was that most of it will play out, including their wives, on reality television. This is almost that.
Yeah.
If anything that I said in that video comes true, I'm king of booking.
Yeah, well,
king of terrible booking.
It's that's the next New Japan tournament. king of terrible booking.
King of terrible booking.
Terrible booking king.
Yeah,
a massive trophy. I'm not looking forward to this. I just every new development in the last couple of days about the Bryan Miz feud is making me more and more depressed about how badly Bryan's return from retirement has been botched. We talked about this in the SummerSlam review, how Bryan returns after 2 years out. This is a privilege to have this man back in the ring. And he's in that lame match with Shane McMahon and Owens and Zayn at WrestleMania. The big Cass feud. Now, the Miz feud is good. Like, that's what I would have gone out the gate with, just to get that out of the way and then put him in the title picture. But now this is going to go on forever. I think I read somewhere that Super Showdown, it's been announced them two for a number one contender shot at the title.
That's good. Like,
yeah, that's something.
At least it leads somewhere, and that's not too far away, I guess.
2 months away.
Yeah, I guess it's not, you know. It's a shame. And I think it also becomes partly sort of stuck in the what's happening with the contract. He hasn't re-signed. But it's even weirder in this scenario to book him so badly and then to let him literally at SummerSlam say, oh, my whole return's been a bust, all this stuff, like, and then in interviews outside of the company and outside of kayfabe, he's saying, what makes you think this company could book this feud long term, blah blah blah. Like, the number of F's that Daniel Bryan gives is negative.
Like, why should he give any
no.
F's if this is what's happening? It's maybe it's another way to spin off a Brie Maryse feud at Evolution. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, so Maryse will be wrestling 5 months after she gave birth, which is quite impressive, a quite impressive feat. But overall, I've got no interest in seeing this match. It's, yeah. Brood. Next up, we had Randy Orton taking on Jeff Hardy. Your favourite matchup of recent times.
And we got, before the match happened, we got a bit of Jeff backstage being spooky, doing his thing that I absolutely hate.
Hey, you see these eyes? They're not my real eyes!
Got you again. He looked like...
must be a great uncle.
He looked like he was in Wicked this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because he defies gravity.
So, Wicked was a Broadway thing, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Before it was here. We don't have to explain that to all American viewers. After the So this started before a commercial break, and when it comes back, Orton is going for Jeff's ear piercing again, which is still grotesque. And then
fetish to have.
Yeah, Jeff snaps. Better than shaking hands, allegedly. Jeff snaps and gives Randy a low blow, which is what you get for hanging out with Nakamura too much.
It's quite a painful looking one as well. It's a proper stomp, isn't it?
Yeah, stomp Randy's on his back.
He holds him up like he's going to do his normal leg drop thing, which also is a low blow, I get.
Yeah, I've never understood how that works.
The rules for low blows are very... But he actually just stamps him. Mm. And then it turns into
kick to the dick.
And then it's an outside brawl. And then I was like, as soon as they went outside, I was like, oh, Jeff's going to do something stupid, isn't he? And I was like, but I also thought, potentially, this could be Orton's punishment for whatever he's allegedly done backstage. Like, this is the sort of thing that WWE like to do, is send someone out and have them get beaten on for whatever reason backstage. And, like, this felt like that, because it just didn't feel like... Orton's not really done anything since he's returned, and it feels too soon to have Jeff Hardy suddenly snap and beat him up.
Yeah, it felt to me like a blow-off. Like, this is the babyface getting their own back. I guess he lost the actual match, so you can continue it there. I fully expect this feud to carry on and on and on.
Yeah.
But it's actually been quite a weird booking since Orton's come back. That first angle was very, very good.
Mm.
But ever since, it's been, you know... Sometimes Randy comes out and just watches people creepily. Other times he goes for it. It's not super engaging stuff, I feel.
No, and then this was just an excuse to have Jeff jump off something.
Swanton bomb through a table.
I'm working quite dinged up at the moment, actually. Oh, are you, Jeff? So what are you going to do about it? Oh, I'm just going to jump off a thing onto the concrete.
That's cool, the toned-down version.
Cool, man.
If he was fully healthy, he'd be flinging himself off the tops of the Titantron. So the other thing,
weird little thing I noticed about Jeff's gear, besides looking like he's from Wicked, he's normally got his little tassel thing hanging out of his pocket.
Oh, yeah.
It was really long this week, and it was like a white one with lots of little... bobbles in it, and it looked like a little prisoner had escaped from his pocket and tied their bed sheets together and like climbed out. I have to make my own fun in Jeff Hardy matches.
Next up, we had Renee Young interviewing DeBar backstage, and that was a great accent. And
DeBar.
Gallows and Anderson interrupted, dressed weirdly. I always feel like Gallows and Anderson are walking in from a show and an in joke that I am not privy to.
Yeah.
Because they've always got something fun going on. I'm like, they look like they're having fun.
I think because
I knew what it was about.
It's because they have to spend 2 hours a week hanging around an arena not doing anything.
Yeah. Well, just everything. I imagine if you watch every single WWE.com clip, you'd be like, ha, Gallows and Anderson, from the fun they were having earlier.
Mm.
But when they actually come onto mainstream continuity, it's just a bit like confusing. So they're dressed all in black suits and silly glasses, and they set up a match for next week. Maybe for Nia Jax, if the Gallows Jax love story is anything.
Well, it could be for the number one contendership, I guess, is the sort of, because that's what the Bar were hinting at in the promo they started cutting. They were saying, we want dibs on whoever wins out of the Bludgeons and New Day later tonight. And then Gil Anderson interrupts and sets up the match. So it could turn into a number one contendership kind of thing, which would be cool.
Yeah, definitely. The Bar and the New Day, when they had that match to face the Bludgeon Brothers, it was great. So I don't mind those. That's
it would also
one
be nice to
feuds.
See Gil Anderson back in the title picture.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, but they
rather
need,
just wearing big glasses backstage and doing accents.
They were only in the title picture 2 months ago.
I know. Yeah,
but
it feels like a long time.
I don't want to see them back in the title picture for a while. I want to see them slowly be built up and make me want to see them in the title picture beyond them just being those guys from New Japan that we used to like and who haven't done anything since.
Yeah.
So
come to WWE, they said.
It'll be good, they said. It's great over here, Balor said. NXT's amazing. I'm sure they'll definitely make you do NXT.
Yeah,
first.
They'll book you as well as they book me. Yeah. It's fine.
You can have a nice run with like, Revival and DIY.
I've told Vince how great you are.
Yeah.
He says he hasn't even heard of Japan.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to be the Universal Champion soon. It'd be fantastic. So Peyton Royce took on Naomi next in a fine match. Mm-hmm. I liked Peyton Royce's finisher. It was like a fisherman perfect plex thing. She hooked the leg.
Yeah, it was so very fisherman good. Suplex isn't just a regular one.
She kind of did a T-bone version of it, though.
Yeah
I liked it.
I'm sure it's she's got some cool. I like all the sort of gymnastics stretches and stuff and the chokes and stuff that she does.
In the corner,
I really like that. I like the fact that Naomi was trying to look really serious at the beginning of this match. This is a match that was set up. I think didn't Naomi cut a promo or something on WWE Now or
probably
some like it was on Twitter and then Peyton retweeted it with a comment saying, "Oh, that's really nice. I've asked Paige we're having a match." Blah 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 blah. And then, yeah, Naomi was trying to look really serious about this feud that's been set up on the internet. But obviously it's Naomi, so she's pulling serious face, but her eyes have been painted orange. She's wearing bright green.
It's not easy to take seriously.
No.
And such a heated feud, I'm going to do a split leg drop on you. Boom. That was, I think, the first move of the match. So, yeah, Billy Kay caused some distraction at ringside, and Peyton Royce won. Did you notice the Dave Meltzer barb at the start here, off the back of the controversy about Peyton Royce last week?
What did they say?
So Meltzer was, in my opinion, sort of misinterpreted for his comments that Royce was lighter in NXT.
Mm.
A lot of people took that to mean that she's put on more weight since. I think it was quite clear when he said it that he was talking about her breast enlargement surgery. Dave Meltzer infamously hates plastic bosoms, and he's
got very strong opinions.
Yeah, it's weirdly one of like the most consistent things he's against.
A hell of a hang up to have.
You should read his Attitude Era Wrestling Observer newsletters. They're just trashing the women for having big plastic boobs. But
he's got two long columns about
it. Yeah, when Royce walks out, Corey Graves goes, "I followed her from NXT and I thought she's never looked better." So that was obviously a sort of barb there. In the Meltzer direction.
Good old Corey. He had some good ones in this. He had a good one about Jeff Hardy when he said he was within a fifth eyelash of winning the title back.
Nice.
Corey's great.
Corey is very good. The New Day next were backstage. Big E had some good comedy where he was being taped up by a guy. He was like, "Thanks, Jim, John, whatever your name is." And the guy walks off. And Kofi and Xavier come in and say, "How you feeling, man? How's the ribs?" And Big E produces some ribs that he's eating and goes, "I like it a bit saltier, usually, or sweet and sour sauce or something." And they go, "No, you big donk. Your
actual ribs.
Your actual ribs." "Oh, yeah, they hurt pretty bad. I can't come out of the match tonight." So that was good. And Kofi said, "Hey, Brooklyn, that's where we are. That's where we started our longest ever record-breaking title reign." And I wanted to say, but it's also kind of where you didn't win the titles last night either.
Gutted.
Yeah. So that was building for the main event. Then we got the Becky Lynch promo, which we've already had.
Good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything on this show was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah,
pretty good to very entertaining. But sometimes they also had the, "Why are you doing that?" element.
Speaking of stuff we already had.
yeah, good segue. Yeah. Rusev and Lana took on Andrade, Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. Why not just do this match at SummerSlam on the pre-show, or don't do it on the pre-show and just do it here?
I thought this one was much better than the pre-show one.
I agree, yeah.
Like, there was less focus on Vega and Lana being in the ring together.
Yep.
But even when they were, there was some actually quite cool stuff. I thought Vega did the... because Andrade does his draping arm ringer thing over the ropes in the corner. Vega did a sort of version of that on the middle rope, where she sort of went tranquilo and hooked her leg around and was dragging Lana's face back into the ropes. That looked really painful.
Yeah.
That was quite cool. I've not seen something like that before. There was a fair bit of like back and forth here. It felt like it was anyone's game, and then it looked like it was all over when Almas hits the knees and then goes to hit the hammerlock, but gets thrown off. And then Vega comes in, confronts Rusev. Lana spears Vega, taking her out of the picture. In the meantime, Andrade's...
I have detailed notes for this match.
In the meantime, Andrade's... This I just wrote down what happened at the end. In the meantime, Andrade's gone outside and he's got a chair. But who stops him using the chair?
Aiden English!
Yay!
He finally got it right after trying to save Rusev or Lana over the last 3 or 4 weeks. He actually interfered in a good way for once. He stopped the heel from cheating, stole the chair. Almas walks in straight into an accolade and taps.
Boom.
So that was good. I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed the finish because it was interesting. I wish this is what we got on the pre-show. And Rusev and Lana, they didn't celebrate with English. English was on the ramp going, you know, smiling at them, saying, oh, I'm your buddy
I'm
still.
I'm always here for you.
Yeah, and Rusev was like, yeah, you're a good friend. So hopefully...
Yeah. You're not allowed back in the ring, though.
Yeah. Not that much. You're not on Rusev.
Stay. Day.
Then we had Nakamura in a little promo.
Don't you mean Nakamerica?
Nakamerica. The United States of Nakamerica is what he has rechristened the country, seeing that he is the US champion. I think that's a great gimmick.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Nakamerica.
I like. But this is the classic promo. This is sort of the classic character they always do with any foreign US champ is... I'm now the hero of America. Kevin Owens did the exact same thing, the face of America thing, which was great for a very short while.
Yeah.
And it only lasted a very short while. But yeah, this is kind of their go-to stance with the US belt. I think it will work for Nakamura, though. I think he's obnoxious enough that I think it's going to work.
He's so good and so oozing with charisma that he has been able to make all of his heel bits work so far. Even like he got the low blow over really, really well. Next up, we had my favorite bit of the night by a long, long way.
Might be
my favorite bit of the whole week, even above the Shield reunion.
Really?
Yes.
Where are you starting your week? On Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
We're not Takeover. Yeah, fine. Takeover last week.
From when SummerSlam...
All of Takeover was the best bit of last week.
From when SummerSlam took it to another level. That other level is where I'm taking it from. Yeah, that's the start of the week. Sunday, but people take Sunday as the start of the week sometimes.
Yeah, no, they obviously do.
So AJ Styles is at the top of the entrance ramp doing this interview with Renee Young.
On a special stage.
Which is... The only time I've seen them do this before is when Big Cass did that promo that didn't stop for 15 minutes and was apparently one of the reasons he got released, because he was just like, yeah, well, I don't want to read the script. I'm going to freestyle it a bit. And he went on forever because of that. But it was great because AJ cuts his quite serious promo saying, the next time Joe mentions Wendy's name, which is his wife, I'm going to rip his heart out. As soon as he says that, a little hand comes up from under the ramp and drags AJ off, chokes him out, and Joe looks into the camera, grabs the camera lens, and screams, "Ooh, Wendy!" It was great.
Yeah. He said, we've all been making promises this evening, and promised Daddy's coming home for bedtime. Well, looks like he's already gone night-night, and he picks up the unconscious AJ Styles and holds him to the camera and then just puts him down and walks off. It's so good.
Yes. I can't believe I've done such a 180 on this feud after being like, the letter, come on. I love it now. AJ and Joe is awesome. They had a great match.
Joe just needs to be let talk, doesn't he? He's so good. I was watching the pre-show for SummerSlam and he did cut a promo on that. They had an actual interview of him. He's unbelievable. They kept trying to interrupt to ask the questions they were like being prompted to ask.
Yeah.
And he was just going. They just couldn't because there was no break in what he was saying that was like, oh, this would be a good place to insert a question from Booker T. Like, while Joe just cuts this amazing promo on AJ Styles. He's so unbelievably good.
It's because he feels authentic.
Yeah.
He seems legitimately tough guy. The Miz, I'm not scared of the Miz in real life. I'm sure he could totally kick my ass. Most people could. But Samoa Joe, I'm scared when he's just on the camera.
Yeah.
Because he genuinely seems like a tough guy who you can believe in for, as an ass kicker. When I saw him live, I've only seen him live once, I was amazed at how tall he is.
Yeah.
I like, because I always thought, you know, X Division, surely they're not that tall. But he, yeah, he's like over 6 foot and enormous.
Yeah.
In that big Samoan build way. Love Joe. It's my favourite thing in WWE right now, AJ and Joe.
I think he's always sweating. Mm. And that's part of, like, I think that also ups the intensity of, yeah, like, definitely. Joe's look, is that he's always just dripping wet, going.
Next up, we had Carmella and Paige backstage. Brill. Carmella just lost her SmackDown Women's title. She might as well have moonwalked in here. She was smiling and like, hey, Paige, give me that rematch that I want against Charlotte.
Mm. I guess she does have a clause, though, so that's probably...
That's why she's so happy.
Yeah, that's fine. Like,
oh, she didn't even get pinned.
No.
Like, she's got a legit grievance there to be very angry at Paige. Like, she could go, I could have beaten Becky if it was just one-on-one.
I took it as being, like, a suck-up, though. I took it more as that sort of, like, she was trying to sort of ass-kiss her way to getting another shot. And then, obviously, Paige shuts her down, you know, and says there's, you know... and what did she say? She said, you look like you've lost 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Of gold from around your waist.
Oh, snap.
But then Carmella says, don't title shame me, which I thought that's actually quite a good line.
That is a good line. But it's Carmella versus Charlotte next week, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, she is getting that rematch.
Yes.
And then she will probably get involved.
Someone else got involved in the promo.
R-Truth came out, still looking for that match against Carmella, because that's how you get a shot at the US title around here. You got to pin Carmella. It was great comedy.
It was good. Yeah. And then when Carmella walks off, you hear her go, put me down, R-Truth. And he goes, what's up? So good.
R-Truth is really good.
He's fun.
I can't believe I'm saying this in 2018, but I wish he was more of a featured performer on SmackDown. Yeah. Like, as a wrestler as well, he still can go.
Mm.
And then the main event was the New Day beating the Bludgeon Brothers.
Brooklyn.
They come out with Big E, but Big E's like, I will let you fight because I am injured. Which I guess is a good way, because it's a no DQ match.
Mm.
So you kind of want a reason why the baby faces wouldn't just...
Have three people on it.
Get brawling right away over the commentary desk. New Day get a ladder, but Harper and Rowan take them out. They start chucking in the chairs. Kofi does this tornado DDT on Harper onto a chair. It's chaos outside. And all the while, I'm thinking, Rowan's injured.
He kept, like, I was looking at him and being like, which arm is it? As well,
yeah.
Like, because he was sort of favouring one to take hits on for a while. And then... there's a bit where he puts himself through the barricade and it's the other one. And then there's a bit where he runs into the post and it's the other one. And I was like, I mean, you could tell he was being safer than usual in certain moves. So like when he was doing like the charges and the splashes, he was going slower than normal. They normally wing him directly.
Yeah, yeah.
And same as when like they normally do the whip, the Irish whip. And Harper wasn't Irish whipping Rowan. He just pushed him, and then Rowan ran on his own. He was like, okay. And he's like, the slap me bit. And he was like, slap me again. Slapped him three times, and he was just pushed him in the direction.
Yeah. And I thought Harper did a lot more of, like, he wrestled 75%
of the
match
definitely.
For the Bludgeon Brothers. But that's, like, taking nothing away from Rowan. He's, you know, all reports say he's got a torn bicep.
Yes,
and to go out there and have a no DQ match just to pass over the title.
Well, he did some absolute, and like putting himself through the barricade and stuff, like, there's no way you would do that if you're a normal person, torn bicep. There's another great Corey Graves line in this when he says, putting the Bludgeon Brothers in a no DQ match is like giving King Kong a chainsaw or giving Godzilla a machine gun.
Yeah.
It's just it's unnecessary.
I guess that they build it up because the Bludgeon Brothers got DQ'd at SummerSlam.
Yes, absolutely, so, yeah.
It does make storyline sense, although that is a good Corey line. So that probably will write Rowan out for a bit, that spot. I don't know how much attention they'll draw to that like moment because you kind of want to build the Bludgeon Brothers as this team that don't get injured. They're too big for that. But Harper's in the ring.
It depends on what they're going to do with Harper now, though, I guess, is the thing. Because it's like if it's a torn bicep as is being reported at the moment, it could be 6 months. So they're not just going to put Harper on ice for six months after he's been injured for so long recently as well. Like, he's going to be gasping to get in the ring.
Do you want to hear what I want to happen that won't happen?
Go for it.
Send him to Raw. Bray Wyatt is also doing nothing at the moment after Matt Hardy's out injured too. Braun Strowman needs some backup against the Shield.
Oh no, I'd love to see that.
Recapture that magic of the Wyatt family against the Shield from 2013. If anything, Braun Strowman is a much better wrestler than Eric Rowan was back in 2013. Mm. Arguably, he's surpassed Rowan now as well. I thought that could be. They won't do it.
Well, there's hints. I saw hints earlier. I couldn't tell you where from. I was just looking around, but it was. There were hints earlier that Bray Wyatt is billed to be teaming with Braun at some point coming up.
Well, Bray retweeted. That was it. Yeah, Bray retweeted his own tweet from around 2013, which was saying, you know, watch out, the Shield. The Wyatt family are coming for you. So just.
I hope so. I hope so. Because, like, yeah, I miss the days of Bray being, like, sort of being billed as going to be a top guy. And obviously, they have messed it up at every turn since then and then. So I would love to give him a proper go at things. Like, I loved it when he won the SmackDown Championship.
For a month.
Like, yeah. But, like, I genuinely popped when that happened. I was like, oh, my God, finally! And then, you know, then the Orton feud was useless and all that stuff. But... he's a believable top guy, especially if they book the right people around him as the cult, because that's, you know, him protected behind the cult's brilliant, and then the idea can be that the further you get through the cult, you then get to him and he's like the final boss and he's really good. Like,
totally. You don't overexpose him because he doesn't wrestle all the time, kind of like what they used to do with Eric Young.
Like the guy at the end of Streets of Rage where he gets out of the wheelchair and he's got a machine gun and stuff and you're like, oh, he's really good, he's mental.
So there's other spots we haven't talked about in this. There was one where two chairs are set up by the Bludgeon Brothers, a ladder's put across them, and Kofi Kingston is slammed right on, but by both Bludgeon
Brothers. So they were going for Xavier Woods, weren't they? So they had Xavier, and they're about to do the crucifix bomb. Kofi jumps off the top, but he's caught, and then he takes the bomb.
Sort of sacrifices himself. Usually in those bits, you'd expect the ladder to break. So it must have sucked even worse for Kofi to take that.
Yeah, he
that
just
bump.
Rolled off, didn't he? Like,
but in the end, Harper was knocked down and he was put on this table that was set up earlier. Kofi's holding him down. And Xavier Woods really far up, down, down elbow for the win. Five-time tag team champions. And great.
Five. It was a really good match. Yeah. And it would have been almost imperceptible that Rowan was injured had you not known going into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a guy for doing that and doing it that way, especially to sort of give the title to the New Day and letting them go over really, really well. Yeah, definitely. It was great. It was so good.
And it was just the cap of a very enjoyable episode of SmackDown. That, of course, there were those problems, but actually, even when you watch those segments with the Bryan stuff and the Becky Lynch stuff, it was still really fun to watch. Yeah. I disagree with the booking direction. So overall, I gave this a very solid 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I agree. I agree entirely.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Please click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk videos and press this button here, which will make you a WrestleTalk pledge hammer on Patreon, where you can get access to loads of exclusive podcasts and, hey, maybe even get a shout out on the show. I'm Ollie Davis. This has been El Fakador, and that was Rambling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.